how much time do you spend at Ocean Beach in Northern California?
I've spent a lot of time here in the last few years. I've been coming since 2005 and kind of living with various people on Ocean Beach. I'm staying with Ryan Seelbach at the moment down in his basement. I've stayed with Jeff Harrison, the famous acupuncturist from Ocean Beach. I've stayed with Grant Washburn, with Doc, all these different colorful characters from Ocean Beach. And you know, over the years I've come to love the surf here and really enjoy the people of San Francisco and the city. It's so, you know, liberal, free, open-minded, intelligent city. And it's different to what we get in South Africa. Not to say that our cities are bad, but it's a different environment. And I love coming here and just, you know, immersing myself in the culture of San Francisco, as well as the waves of Ocean Beach and Mavericks.
Is Ocean Beach a little different from other surf spots that you like around the world because there's a whole city that's behind it? Is it better in that way, or are there other places that are comparable?
Well, they're all different. So I love to come here to the city and surf Ocean Beach, but at the same time, the rest of my year is taken up by traveling in and around Africa to very remote and inaccessible surf spots to surf by myself or with whoever we take. So it's different, you know. And then I love to surf in Cape Town, which is a, you know, city environment, and I love to surf on the North Shore of Hawaii, but I also like Kauai, which is very quiet and removed. So, you know, I like it all, but I just find that Ocean Beach is an amazing training ground. It's a tough place to surf. It demands, you know, both mental and physical respect, and it's a challenge to both of those. And it seems to get me in the zone for when Mavericks breaks. So that's the main reason why I come and hang here, is to really train for those days out at Mavericks.
So you spend several months then basically surfing the Northern California waters to train for Mavericks?
I come here for 3 to 4 months of every year, and I spend the northern, you know, hemisphere winter between Hawaii, California, and Europe. And I end up probably spending about a month of my time in Northern California, and another, you know, a couple months in Hawaii, and a few weeks in Europe. That's how it kind of levels out. You know, Hawaii is also a great place to train, obviously, for big waves. The warm water keeps you in the water a little bit more. So I used to come and spend most of my winters in California, but now I spend most of the winter in Hawaii. But I'm here for at least a month throughout the 4 months of the winter.
So tell me about the surf at Ocean Beach then. What is it that's attractive to you? Because it's not a point break.
No, it's one of the best beach breaks in the world, you know, and it's a beautiful break when it's on fire. It can be as good as any other wave, but at the same time, it's challenging. And the way it peaks up, you know, the outer bars bring a perfectly groomed straight groundswell that's traveled from thousands of miles across the Pacific. And the outer bars break that up into these perfect A-frame peaks. And any surfer will tell you that that's what you look for in a beach break, you know. You don't want it to be closing out and dumping down. You want it to be tapered off and like an A-frame. And that's what Ocean Beach does. And it's just a fantastic wave. And at the same time, it's challenging. So I think every great surfer out at Mavericks has first cut their teeth at another wave, and Ocean Beach is the San Franciscan guys' wave to cut their teeth at. Guys like Grant Washburn and Doc and Alex Martins and Ryan Seelbach and Lance Harriman have all cut their teeth out here. And you know, when I travel to a spot, I learn from the locals. I watch how they do it, and I try to immerse myself in what they're doing. And that's why I come to Ocean Beach and I train with those guys, because they're the best guys out at Mavericks, and there's a reason for that.
So you, the people who you're naming, some of the best surfers around here, and you're close to them. I mean, you're crashing in their pads. Is there a real brotherhood in these different surf spots and even among big wave surfers around the world?
Absolutely. Guys like Ryan and Grant have come over to South Africa and spent time with me down at Dungeons. I took Ryan up to, you know, up the west coast of South Africa. He borrowed my car for a while when I wasn't there and he was there. And so, you know, and then it's reciprocated when I come here. And the same as the people that I stay with in Hawaii, you know, they've all come out and seen me in South Africa. Everyone wants to surf Jeffreys Bay, which is our famous wave down in South Africa. So there's definitely a brotherhood, and we all look out for each other, both on the land and especially in the water, because, I mean, you know, we're dealing with life-threatening situations out there, and we have to have each other's back. So that there's definitely that bond that's formed, much like, you know, I'm sure you, guys who climb mountains and do other extreme sports together and pastimes have that same type of bond.
Let's talk about that danger for a second, because you surf some of the biggest waves in the world. How many people would you say even are the surfers who take on something like a Mavericks, who would be invited or take on waves that are, say, you know, four or five, even more stories tall?
There's not that many of us, you know. I've got a saying where there's a lot of big wave surfers under a certain size, you know, under 40-foot faces. There's a lot of big wave surfers, but once the waves go 40 to 50 foot faces, there's a lot less, you know, there's maybe 50 guys. And once, you know, the waves go 50 to 60 foot faces, there's really only a few, you know, a handful, maybe 5 or 10 guys. And I can name the lot of them that really want it when it's at its biggest. So, you know, it's that kind of sport. I mean, you know, like the wingsuit flyers, I mean, there's not too many of them. It's that kind of sport that really, once you get to a certain level, the guys seem to drop out. But at the same time, there's a lot of youngsters coming up. I surfed Mavericks yesterday, and there was about three young guys from Half Moon Bay who really look like they've got the fire in their eyes and the talent to surf well out there. And you know, we're always trying to encourage those guys to come up, because out of those youngsters, there'll be one that is the next Jeff Clark, you know, the madman who surfed Mavericks for 15 years by himself. And, you know, Half Moon Bay obviously breeds that kind of character. So we really want the next generation to come to be local kids and to come and take over out at Mavericks. You know, we've had Iron Banner and Tim West in the past who have given it a good go from Half Moon Bay. And it was just awesome to see some new youngsters coming up.
Well, you say that there is a difference then between people who will go up to 40 feet or even 50 feet and those who will go higher, and it comes down to just a handful of people. So what's the difference between looking down upon a wave that's that big, that's, you know, 10, 20 or 30 feet bigger?
There's a huge difference. As you know, as you grow in the 10-foot increments, the power of the wave becomes, you know, it's exponential growth. So for every 10 foot of height, the power becomes doubled. And it's also very rare to find, you know, 50 to 60 foot waves that you can paddle into. And so on those special days, we had one in 2010 for the contest. That was a special day. We've had a couple out of Cortez and Jaws. And those days really seem to separate the men from the boys, if you can say that, you know. And I really look forward to those days, because somehow for me, I seem to, the bigger and scarier the waves get, I seem to become more calm and focused. And I think, you know, that I'm just lucky to have that in my personality. And I enjoy those days more than anything. And I love to look into the other guys' eyes and see if they've got what it takes to surf on those special huge days.
So can you tell me about maybe in 2010 at Mavericks, or the biggest day that you can remember at Mavericks that was surfable? If you could take me through kind of slowly what the feel is, so you're out there, you're in the lineup and you're bobbing, and then you see it come in. Can you kind of take me slowly and describe it? Because it's something that, you know, not many people can picture.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's tough to describe, but basically you see the sets on the outside and you start to get butterflies in your stomach, you know, and it's still probably got a minute and a half to get to you, the swell, and you start to position yourself according to your triangulations on the shore. So you've got, you know, markers on the shore, trees and various markers that you can triangulate yourself to a certain point in the ocean. So you start to position yourself, and then it becomes this big mental game to trust your triangulations, your markers, and to stay pretty much in a place where you know one of the most dangerous forces known to nature is going to rear up and break. Instead of, you know, your whole body is telling you to, and your mind is telling you to paddle out and get away from it, but you know, you have to trust your instincts and stay put. And then, you know, finally the wave starts to come, and you look at the first one, it's not in the right place, it's not from the right angle coming out of the ocean, and you leave that one. The next one, you know, still not quite confident to go on that one, something doesn't look right, and then boom, you go over that one, and the next one's just the perfect wave for you, you know. And each wave seems to pick someone out from the crowd. So if someone's a little bit in a different position to you, the wave will move to them and pick them out. And you know when a giant wave comes and it's picked you out. And you look at it, you wait, you make sure you're in the right position as it's kind of standing up and coming towards you. And then at the last second, you'll spin your board and to face the beach and just put your head down and paddle, you know. And the whole bowl is just sucking up from underneath, and everything in your mind and your body is telling you not to go. You know, it's too steep, it's too big, it's, you know, and suddenly you just get that calm feeling when instinct takes over and the wave starts to pick you up. Your momentum while you're paddling builds, your speed builds while you're paddling, and then at the perfect split second, you just know to just leap to your feet, steer your board over the edge, and the rest just goes past in a blur. You know, you're looking 2-3 feet in front of your nose at first as you drop down to make sure you negotiate all those bumps. As you hit the bottom, you look up quickly and you see where the wall is and what you have to do with your bottom turned. You have to draw it out slow and around the section, or can you jam it and up into the face of the wave to make it? And or, you know, the ultimate, can you set your line and get into the barrel, you know, and get covered up by the wave? And that all happens in just split seconds, and it's all just instinct. You're not thinking anything through. It's just all becomes, you know, just muscle reaction. And before you know it, you're just in the channel, and you just have that feeling of elation and accomplishment that you've pushed your personal limits just that little bit further.
How fast do you get going from basically zero?
You're going fast. I mean, the whole thing just happens so quickly, and I mean, we've never measured it, but you know, waves are moving at, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour, and you outrunning them on that board. So, you know, you're moving pretty quick.
So, how did you get into surfing in the first place? What was the appeal to you?
I just came from a beach family. You know, my dad was a super keen fisherman, and we used to love to go to the beach. So I started off on a boogie board, you know, like everyone else, 5-6 years of age, messing around in the foamies, and, you know, just developed from there. I had a bunch of crazy friends at school who really pushed each other at the local break when it got big. You know, we were always keen to get out there and surf whenever the waves were bigger at our local beach.
Was that dangerous, you guys pushing each other?
No. I mean, our local beach is Durban, so, you know, the maximum wave height was kind of 20 feet on the face, you know.
Sounds big.
Yeah, I mean, it's big, but it's not life-threatening. But when you're a young kid, it seems ginormous. And it's all relative, you know. Big waves are all relative. To me, you know, a 20-foot face these days isn't that big, but to someone who's just started surfing, it's ginormous, you know. So, and at the same time, you know, for me, I wouldn't like to be tackled by one of those American football players, because that's going to break me in half. But if you take the biggest, strongest American football player and put him out at Mavericks, he's going to have a tough time. So everything's relative, you know. Snowboarding, you know, going fast on a snowboard, it's the same type of feeling. So even though it looks like what we're doing out there is completely crazy, I'm sure everyone has got something in their lives that they get that same kind of feeling and rush from.
And that they have the talent to take on.
And yeah, that everyone's got a talent, you know, be it, you know, dancing, ballet, you know. For me, that would be impossible and I'd probably break an ankle, but for them, it's their release. So, you know, it's all It's all relative, and you know, we're not that special or different to everyone else that's doing something.
So you started to get better because you and your friends were kind of pushing each other and improving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I went from there down to Jeffreys Bay, met up with the Cape Town guys. I had family that lived in Jeffreys Bay. Jeffreys Bay is halfway between Durban and Cape Town. And down in Jeffreys Bay, I used to love it when J Bay got at its biggest. I met Cape Town guys who used to come up and surf Jeffreys Bay, and they, you know, helped me to, they were like, oh, you like the big waves in Jeffreys Bay, you got to come down and surf Cape Town. And then Cape Town has waves comparable to the biggest waves in the world. So, you know, that's where I finally learned to really cut my teeth in waves the same size as Mavericks and Hawaii and the rest of them.
And at what point did you start to make money at it?
I've never made money from it. You know, it's not like the top guys in the WCT and the hot dog type surfing. You know, those are the guys that make the big bucks and get all the girls. We mainly just do it for the love of it. You know, I got different businesses at home that keep me going. I own a rock and roll bar in Cape Town, and I worked for a surf company for many years as a rep while you know, chasing big waves. But yeah, it's more of a pastime and a passion for us than a business, that's for sure.
Because it's an expensive habit then to go chase big waves around. I mean, especially if you see that the swell gets good and then you have to buy a ticket and all that kind of thing. I mean, tell me about this lifestyle.
It's reasonably expensive. You know, I never stay in hotels or rent hire cars or anything like that. You know, I keep it cheap. I stay with you know, friends and family around the world, people that have become my family, and you know, luckily they lend me cars, give me a couch to sleep on, and so I can keep it fairly down. But yeah, at the same time, coming from South Africa with the exchange rate, I mean, our exchange rate is very poor to the dollar at the moment. So yeah, this 3 months has been expensive, but luckily I've won one or two contests to keep it going.
You became a pro, I guess, at 32, is that right? And you're 49?
Yeah. When I won the first Mavericks event, I got a small sponsorship, and that gave me the opportunity to kind of travel around the world and surf big waves. So I came into it late, but that was because I never traveled outside of South Africa until that time, and until Grant Washburn invited me to come over and surf Mavericks. And, you know, that changed my life. You know, I was a rep for the same company, selling t-shirts beforehand. And after I won Mavericks, they were like, wow, you can actually surf too. So, you know, he has a bit of cash, go out and do it. And, yeah, I was sponsored by them until, kind of 6 months ago, and unfortunately the company is in dire straits and going under, so they couldn't afford to keep me going. And hopefully now, after I win Mavericks again, so you know, I can find another company that'll be interested in keeping me surfing, which will be really funny because I just turned 40 and if I can get paid to go and surf for another couple of years, that, I mean, that would be a dream.
So what is your plan then? I mean, obviously, you know, you're at the top of your game right now, and a lot of the big wave surfers seem to be in their 40s, actually. I mean, I'm 40, and I feel like I'm in better shape than I've ever been, but how long do you plan to keep this up, and how long do you want to keep this up?
I think all 40-year-olds think they're in the best shape that they've ever been, but I don't know if that's true. I mean, I feel fantastic mentally and physically. I'm in very good nick, and I can see myself doing this at the top level for at least another 5 years, and I'd love to do that. But at the same time, I just got engaged, and you know, I need to start looking at having kids now. I still don't have any kids, and if I'm going to do that, you know, it has to be soon. So I'm kind of at a crossroads here. You know, I've achieved a lot in surfing. I really want to win the Eddie Aikau Memorial in Hawaii. You know, I want to have a go at that and win it, and I think then I can rest easy and feel like I've completed my journey. But yeah, at the same time, the plan is to get a new sponsor. I'm speaking to a few companies, big wave surfing is taking off right now with the Association of Surfing Professionals taking over the tour. A lot more prize money, a lot more prestige and coverage. And this Mavericks competition was the most widely watched and publicized surfing event ever. So suddenly there's kind of a lot of momentum behind big wave surfing, and I'd probably be foolish to kind of duck out now when I'm on top. And we still got two competitions to go on the tour. Within the next 2 months, they have to run one up in Oregon at Nelscott Reef, and the other one down in Baja, Mexico, at Todos Santos. So I'm just focused on that. There's still a month waiting period for the Eddy, and I'm just, you know, hoping and praying that the Eddy Aikai runs this year, and I get a chance at it when I'm at my peak.
When you end up retiring from the competitions, will you still surf?
Yes, of course. I mean, I'll surf. I mean, sometimes I joke, you know, that the big wave swells take away from me going down the coast and surfing perfect right-hand point breaks like Rincon and down into Baja. You know, I'm always in the thick of the storm, surfing big waves, and I can't wait to retire from that and have the opportunity to go surf. I mean, in South Africa and Africa, we have just endless potential for new discoveries and waves down there and uncrowded waves, and I can't wait to immerse myself in that, you know, and go surf the little point break around the corner. Will be fantastic one day.